What we need right now is hope. Because of that, here at Sharing the Light, we've chosen to bring out one of our most requested vintage series, I Hope So, from Pastor Alan Wright.
And so the gospel of Jesus Christ does not introduce any anti-hope. While we will not, Paul says, mix a little bit of law in it. That's why, instead of saying, I know that you accepted Jesus 14 years ago, but I noticed that you sinned yesterday, and maybe you're not saved after all.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright. Welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Daniel Britt, eager for you to hear Alan's message in a series called I Hope So, taken from the pulpit at Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. If you want to know more about I Hope So, listen up next here on Sharing the Light. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. And stay with us at the end of today's broadcast for a special offer to help you in your spiritual life. Here now with today's teaching is Alan Wright.
You better be good. Because he can very easily, with one stroke of the pen, take you off his good list and put you on his naughty list just like that. And to reinforce it, we take them to the mall, put them on Santa's knee, and they're trembling, crying, trembling, but doing it because, hey, if it means more presents, it's worth it. And first thing Santa says is, have you been a good little girl? She says, well, yeah. So, but she's sitting there thinking, but I don't know. I'll probably, between now and Christmas, I'll probably yell at my brother, and I'll probably forget to make my bed, and I might not feed the dog. I'm kind of worried about it all. So now she's got hope, sort of. A hope, and it's going to be great, and Christmas is coming, but what if I mess up? What if I don't keep the rules, and I'm not a good girl? And I may not get fully blessed. None of my blessedness depends upon me following the law. The law has been introduced into my hope. So this means that the law is anti-hope because we can't keep the law. Paul has explained this in Romans 6 and 7. The law was good. It's not the law's fault that we sin, but the law has proven that we have sinned and fall short. And so if we live by the law, we will be condemned by the law. And so if you want to disturb someone's hope and contaminate it, introduce some law. Which goes far to explain why Paul is laying out logically in Romans 6 and 7 the gospel so that he can get to Romans 8, 1. It's why, as he's laying this out, he's been very clearly elucidating this kernel of powerful truth that the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ and that he took the whole penalty for all who had disobeyed the law so that the system of the law could expire and be superseded by the covenant of grace. And he so wanted us to see how this is possible through the sacrifice of Christ and the exchange that's taken place on the cross. He wants us to see it. He wants to really get that so that when he finally comes around to say, therefore, that it makes sense to us and we can say, oh, I get it. It's as long as we have hope, but it's mixed in with law and we're trying to live somewhat under the law, then we'll always have a fear of condemnation because we will never be able to fully keep the law and therefore we will be condemned. And the trick of hell is to get you to condemn yourself by putting yourself back up under the law. So Paul's been saying over and over, you're released from the law, come out from under the law, you're in a covenant of grace, and until you really come into the covenant of grace and you really embrace the gospel for all that it is, then you will be putting yourself under a condemnation that God has already lifted off of your life. I've explained all this to you now. Christmas is coming, and there's no Santa coming to town to take you off of one list and put you on the other. The fact is that if you're in Christ, there is now no condemnation for you, now or ever. Wow. That's the message of the gospel. And I've been waiting my whole life to hear that. And you have too. Because in this world, there is condemnation. I think it happens while we're still in the womb. I do. Some of us here hadn't even been born yet. And there was already a spirit of rejection in your home. You weren't wanted. You're born in sin and born into a world of sin. Knew no other way. Even where the family was relatively healthy, even there, we didn't have any other way to interpret who we are except by what the face communicates to me that looks at me. And if that face is not radiant and approving, I begin to adopt an idea that something wrong with me, and so I'm already condemned. And that little soul, even the littlest soul, has an intricate, elaborate means of interpreting these messages. The littlest soul grows up, and as it grows, it disappoints people, doesn't do well enough, doesn't keep up, and that little soul learns, I am condemned. I am condemned. Can't get it right. And that little soul might try really hard. Or that soul might grow into one that says, why even try? And that soul goes into relationships, and finds out that when I disappoint people, they judge me. I feel condemned. And sometimes that family breaks. And that soul who already has felt condemned wonders, why? Is it my fault? What do I need to do? That soul gets into a family of its own, finds out when I don't do well enough, I feel condemned again. So much anxiety. No wonder things seem to be breaking apart. No wonder. We're so depressed. No wonder we're so addicted. No wonder we're so anxious. No wonder we're so sick. Because the spirit of condemnation has followed us all the days of our lives. And every message from this culture, every message of the media bombards us with essentially the same thing. You're not enough. You don't look good enough. You're not successful enough. You're not powerful enough. You're not rich enough. You're not enough. You're not enough. You're not enough. You're not enough. It's a message of condemnation. And we've been waiting for Romans 8 our whole lives. And the world's been waiting for it. The world has been waiting. All of history has been waiting for Romans 8 verse 1. And God is more excited than anybody else to give us Romans 8 verse 1. Because in the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, their pain was not just the pain of feeling dirty, that's bad. It was the fear of the condemnation from each other and from the God who made them. That's what made them cover up. But God has demonstrated His heart always. And He gives windows of hope, pointing to the ultimate hope. And He opened up a little window of hope, and He shed the innocent blood of animals in order to make skins to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve, to point to His heart and to the fact that one day, that while now I cover your condemnation with these skins, one day there will be no condemnation. It is the motivation of God to have His people live without any condemnation and only in perfect hope. And people grew in sin, and the world became exceedingly wicked. And God decided He must purge the world, and great waters came. But there was a window of hope that was opened up to a man named Noah. It was just pointing to the fact that there would one day be a righteous man through whom all the hope of a new world would come. And Noah built an ark, and there was a dove and an olive branch, and there was a rainbow because God was saying that it is my plan that one day, though this whole world now has been condemned for its wickedness, that one day there will be, therefore, now no condemnation for my people.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled. Colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart. Hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, "I hope I get a pony for Christmas," that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, "I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good," that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. The gospel is shared when you give to Sharing the Light. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
And God called a people unto himself, and he flourished them against all odds, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob had a son. Joseph was condemned by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery. And many years later, those brothers, thinking Joseph to be dead, they come to Egypt looking for food. And when Joseph sees them, he sits in the position of authority to condemn those brothers. But instead, God opened a window of hope so we could see his heart and see his plan. And instead, the man of God ran into the back room and he wept. He wept for joy and he wept for compassion. And later he would weep upon his brothers' shoulders and he would tell them that you intended it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I'm not going to condemn you, but I'm going to bless you. Come and live in this land, and I will prosper you here. Because God was showing that the time would come in which he would have a way in which his people could live free from condemnation and under his favor. And that people grew plentiful, and they became a threat in the eyes of the new Pharaoh. And so the Hebrew people were put under terrible tyranny, or wicked slave masters that enslaved this multitude of people. And when their slavery was at its abyss, and they had cried out to God, God opened up another window of hope, and he sent a man, a murderer in his own right, but a man of God's calling, a man who was raised in the court of royalty, and yet was one of the Hebrews. He wasn't them, but he was them. One man, a real man, and he sent him to be a deliverer because God was showing us that the day is coming that there'll be a deliverer who will be royal and yet one of you, and he's going to deliver you, and then there's a way that you're going to be able to come out from underneath all of this condemnation. And they had the blood of a lamb that they could put over their door, because when God opened up this next window of hope, he was showing that it's going to come through innocent blood of a lamb, and it's going to have nothing to do with you, that you're going to come out from under this condemnation. You just put the blood over the door and you will be set free. And he delivered his people, and he gave them an inheritance, and he promised them a land. And the people had lived under so much slavery and so much condemnation that when the 12 spies go into the land, 10 of them came back and condemned themselves. We can't do it. We're too small. We're grasshoppers. And in their self-condemnation, a generation died off. But there was a man who refused to condemn himself or anybody else, and his name was Yeshua. His name, Joshua. And he believed, and he was a window of hope that God opened to show that there will be a general who will not condemn, but will move forward believing the inheritance to be real. And God watched over this people. At times they would be faithful, at times they would disobey. They could not keep the law. And where the law is not kept, there is punishment, and they were disciplined, and they were bad. They were exiled to Babylon, and they were in pain. You know what God did then? He kept revealing His heart to them. He sent prophet after prophet to declare the heart of God. He sent Isaiah, comfort, comfort my people. Your strength will be renewed. Just opening up a big, beautiful window of hope. He said that there's one who we esteemed him not, but it's by his stripes that we'll be healed, pointing to the day that there would be no condemnation and no exile, that there's going to be a way that someone else's stripes is going to be our salvation. Someone else's blood is going to be the payment for our penalty. He opened up the window. He sent Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied to those in exile, and he said, the day is coming. I know it's coming. I've seen what God can do. This is the man who was sent down to the potter's house. And God said, look at the potter. The clay is marred in his hand. It isn't what it was intended to be, but watch what the potter can do. He can remold it. He can make it. He can make it totally new. God can make anything new. He declared the word of the Lord, and he said, the day is coming, and when no longer will one say to his neighbor, know the Lord, for all will know the Lord. A new covenant that God will make with his people, and my law will be put inside of their hearts. It will no longer be an external code that you can't keep and therefore fall under continued condemnation. A window was open as Jeremiah prophesied, and Hosea came and he said, I want you to marry Gomer. She's a prostitute and an adulteress. But you know what the miracle was? He gave Hosea love for that prostitute. And even when she was unfaithful a second time, he remarried her. He took her and he said, Hosea, tell my people, he said, that there is a way in which the love of the bridegroom can be set upon a bride who's been unfaithful, and her condemnation will be lifted and she will be rejoiced over. He sent Amos to declare that there's a day of the Lord that is coming in all of His glory and all of its triumph. He sent Joel to clarify that on that day of the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. There will be no distance between even the little children, not boys or girls or men or women, that upon all flesh, there will be no distance between them and God, but my Holy Spirit will be poured out upon their lives. He sent Jonah to model for them that though he spent 3 days in a whale, though he was 3 days in the darkness, that he was spat forth into the glorious light. The word came a second time to Jonah because there's a window of hope that there will be one who spends 3 days in the earth but rises forth to his glorious inheritance to reign over all the earth. There's coming a time where there will be, therefore, no condemnation upon my people. He sent Zechariah and he said, behold your king. He comes. He's riding humbly like on a donkey, like on a colt. You'll recognize him when he comes. He spoke through prophet after prophet after prophet through Habakkuk, who said the just will live by faith, not by the law, until finally he comes to Malachi and he says, just test me in this and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great upon thee that you can't contain it. The time is coming in which my people will not live with any more sense of condemnation on their life, and they will receive the fullness of my blessing, says the Lord. The whole of history and all of the world have been waiting for Romans 8, verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Which is to say, God wants us to live with hope that is not tarnished in the least by a message of condemnation. He wants us to be the little kids that know that Christmas is coming and don't have any fear of Santa Claus, because hope is powerful enough to make you endure, to make you not give up, and hope is powerful enough to give you victory over temptation. If we need to endure, if we need to not give up, and we need to live with victory, that comes from hope. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ does not introduce any anti-hope. Why we will not, Paul says, mix a little bit of law in here. That's why. Instead of saying, I know that you accepted Jesus 14 years ago, but I noticed that you sinned yesterday, and maybe you're not saved after all. I noticed you hadn't been giving enough lately. Maybe you're not really saved and you're condemned. Because we think we're going to manipulate the power of hope to use it to make people be better, when in reality, it is the release of hope and the security of the Christian's life that makes hope explode inside of us to empower us for incredible, victorious living. That's the gospel. So when you look into the mirror and you think about how you've messed up or the regrets that you have and the disappointments that you have, you do not look at the mirror and just see yourself for all of your mistakes, but you must look through the lens of the Word of God that announces over your life in Christ, you're not condemned at all. And therefore, you can get on living like an heir.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light. And today's teaching, No More Condemnation.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled. Colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart. Hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, I hope I get a pony for Christmas, that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good, that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. The gospel is shared when you give to Sharing the Light. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
If you consider yourself a hope-filled person, you're filled with hope and you're keeping your eyes on Jesus and boy, you're living the victorious life, even through challenges. Maybe even you're facing those with Jesus by your side. Every now and then, I think very few people escape this, Alan. Condemnation comes.
Yeah.
And it's like these barking dogs that try to distract you on life's journey.
Yeah.
Try to bring you down.
And at the very least, I hope that we have shown this today, Daniel. God does not want any of us to live with a single bit of condemnation. So listeners who are struggling, just hear this again. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not partial condemnation, not just a little bit of condemnation. There is no condemnation. God wants you to live with hope that is not tarnished in the least by a message of condemnation. He wants you to be that little kid that knows that Christmas is coming and you don't have any fear, but that good things are coming. This is the way that it's rooted in us spiritually. God has good things in store for you. This world may have some trouble, but God is with you, and he's going to see you through, and you have the hope of the glory of God in front of you. There is no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ.
We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT. 60. Again, sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT60. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.